The handouts are being passed out right now, so if you'll be patient, you will be getting a handout in a minute. This morning, I want to present to you Dr. Creator Simulator. It's a research simulator that was done over at the University of Torino in Italy. It is the successor to the Mozart simulator and Backlar talked about this morning from SGS Thompson. It's been an external research project now for about 4 or 5 years. We've been affiliated with them through external research, starting back in the Mozart days, back in the mid-80s. First off, I'd like to present our organization a little bit. It does seem strange that the simulator development group should be located over a diagnostic group. We have evolved from doing simulation and supporting a diagnostic group into more of a simulator development group. And we're looking at ways to improve the diagnostic process through simulation. We've been mainly a small simulator development group. We're part of the diagnostic systems firmware organization. We have 5 people in the organization. Ernst Ulrich is our lead consultant. Those 5 people represent over 45 people years of simulator development. Have 2 patents, numerous papers, and we have external research projects going on at the University of Turin and the University of Colorado. People that have worked over the years at the University of Turin graduated. One has gone on to be an assistant associate professor at the University of Colorado. They are using the Dr. Creator simulator out there and doing research on speed-up techniques such as clock suppression. So we're looking at leveraging the capability of those 2 universities in their research and speeding up simulation. Get a little bit of history to appreciate how well-founded the simulator is and how good it potentially is. They've been working on simulation technology at the University of Torino now for 10 years. They started off with the Cividal simulator back in 1982 and very quickly moved, because that was gate only, very quickly moved into the Mozart development. That is a product that is owned by SGS Thompson. It was one of the, besides Dexim, it was one of the first simulators to implement multi-list traversal to implement concurrent simulation. And that is a product, as I mentioned, being sold by SGS Thompson. That we started our affiliation with Ernst back in the mid-80s, 84, 85 timeframe, when they were starting to develop, when they were in the development of the Mozart simulator. That has since evolved and we're very heavily associated with them now. And Creator Phase 1 is a very well-structured program. I want to back up a minute. Mozart ended up looking like this a little bit. A lot of glue holding the structure together. Separate simulators, pretty much like Dexim is today. From that, from what they learned from that, they took a very structured approach to designing Creator, and it's very well structured. This being the X Windows interface sitting down here, and the simulator sitting back on some other machine. That's in your handouts in the back. So here I want to jump into the features of Creator and get into some of the phase 2 aspects of Creator. printer has an extra Windows interface, which helps to greatly resolve the look and feel problem of jumping from tool to tool as you go through your design process. It's written in C. We have the source code, all the source code, and it's very modifiable. It's very well structured and organized. It's very portable. It was designed with the intent to run on the fastest machine that's available at any point in time. It presently runs on VMS, Alteryx, and the Unix machines that you see right there. Also runs on Apollo, to give you an idea of how portable it really is. DHDL is implemented through the CLSI tool suite. To get a DHDL model into Creator, you would come through the CLSI tools, VTIP, and their retargetable VHDL code generator, which would generate a .c file, many .c files, and then compile that, link the object file, then into Creator. Same process that all the other Mentor and everybody else that's using the CLSI front-end tool suite goes through. Creator's a concurrent simulator, has both fault simulation, concurrent simulation capability, and good concurrent simulation capability. That concurrence capability is implemented through a multi-list traversal mechanism. Functional lists allow for the stuck at conditions, stuck at one, stuck at zero. In addition to stuck at faults, you can specify a different behavior through the functional list. The functional lists allow more than just a stuck at. It allows you to say, in this case, I don't want the behavior in AND gate. For this concurrent machine, I want it to behave like an OR gate. So you can change the behavior of a gate through the functional list for a separate concurrent machine. Creator has the normal built-in functional evaluation functions, gates, RTL, and so forth. Besides that, you can go through, you can define user-defined primitives and have truth tables through truth tables and or C functions. Both inertial and transport delay models are implemented. It has clock suppression in it. About one of the only simulators today that does have it. Clock suppression basically is trying to reduce the amount of activity out on the clock tree distribution tree, and therefore speed up your simulation. Results so far show a speed up to 2 to 3 times over simulators without clock suppression. A newer version of Creator with a more enhanced clock suppression, giving 4 to 5 times speed up greater, is we just received from the University of Colorado. It was a paper written by Weber and Semenzi. And finally, it's got a macro gate capability, which is a technique that's been used by Verilog Cadence to speed up their simulation process. Future directions. So we're exploring ways of translating and getting BDS capability into Creator. looking mainly at a BDS to a VHDL translation, looking at VHDL fault simulation. Torino's working on simulation backplane. And Colorado and Torino are looking at enhancing the clock suppression techniques, algorithms that they presently use in the simulator. And finally, we are developing and testing out the multi-domain concurrent simulation capability concept that is paper written by Ernst Ulrich and Karen Lentz in our organization. With multi-domain concurrent simulation, it allows to see how faults interact. It allows the faults to interact. Today, with concurrent simulation, the faults are separate. You can't get them to interact, so you can't see what multiple faults interaction would have on your that result would be on your design. Multi-domain concurrent simulation would allow those faults to interact. Very quickly, Creator is very general, modular, and very simplistic. Represents approximate 10-to-1 reduction in code over DECSIM, allowing for feature enhancement to within Creator to bring it up to approximate same feature capability of DECSIM. DECSIM, as Doug mentioned a while ago, is sitting at around 750,000 lines of code. Creator today is around 40,000 lines of code, so allowing for adding some features to Creator. There's a lot of simplicity in the Creator design. They're not, in designing Creator, they did not take and tweak it every which way to make it work. They took a very systems approach to it and systems approach to the optimization and functionality implementation. So it is a very manageable product, and it doesn't have a lot of cute tricks being done in it. Very quickly, with Creator with VHDL, within our design process, resolves many historic modeling issues going from the chip to the board level to the manufacturing process. With the different simulators of choice in the chip environment, in the board environment, or out in manufacturing, VHDL provides the mechanism to move the design all the way through its life cycle, product development life cycle, into manufacturing very effectively. VHDL allows the component approach, the fact that different people can use different simulators that suit their needs the best and still get their job done. Finally, buying versus an outside simulator or versus making one. We have the simulator technology today. We have the simulator, and we're going to make it, be taking it on the road for demos with the VHDL front end on it in early September timeframe once we get past vacations and everything. Anybody that would be interested in having us give a demo to them, except for over in Reading, England, we'd love to get over there. But please feel free to give me a call and we'll set up a demo date that we can come out and demo it to you. Thank you. If there's any questions? Yes, she. Obviously, we have to have a market out there before we can justify adding people to the organization to support the tool. We do have a lot of support from the University of Colorado and Torino as a fallback. We would not, for the tougher questions, we would rely on them to help us out initially. But until we did start getting a lot of users out there, it would be very difficult to justify adding a lot of people for support. We are looking at this as a simulator engine, okay? And we're looking at other markets to apply it to broaden the base and reduce the cost to the end user and also better justify the amortization cost of maintaining an internal simulator. So there's a lot of different organizations that are very interested in the simulator engine. For example, Spitbrook is very interested in it for their case tool suite, and we're in discussions with them right now relative to that. Getting it into these different markets will amortize that cost, and it will provide a lower cost, if not zero cost to you in the not too far off future. So, thank you. Oh, sorry, Bill. Okay. Well, on the on a BDS to which is probably the main one that you might be interested in. It would probably be 6 to 8 months to a year. I would say that's about, do you have any feel for that?
At Torino, they will have plans to work on the simulation back when, but there the development is one senior researcher and occasionally some graduate student. Senior researcher is not a lot of full professor or very busy, so that's that keeps the actual development working with the AA back when they had.
This is kind of a twist on Pete's question. I'm just a little unclear on what the exact direction of this tool is. Is it going to be focused externally or internally?
Right now it's focused internally. Though we would like to develop an external focus to that, but it probably be the case. We are discussing with CLSI the possibility of them marketing it as a VHDL simulator through their solutions side of the house. So we are looking for means of turning it into a product and gaining profit from it to fund more research work. All right. Further questions will be answered later in the day. If you think of any, please feel free to ask.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Again, you'll have hopefully an opportunity over the course of an hour, perhaps 2 hours later on this afternoon, if you want to stick around to get involved in an open discussion and address questions to any one of the people that are going to be presenting over the course of the day. Before we go to lunch, we'll break to lunch in about 2 or 3 minutes. I just want to make a couple of announcements. We've handed out a VHDL training for, just so you're aware of what this is. It's primarily so we can get a feel for what the interest level in informal training is. We currently worked out outlined a deal with PLSI to come in and provide a three-day formal course using their training material and their expertise in the teaching area. We're going to do that through our documentation training organization, or through MAET, whichever kind of seems to work best. What we need to know is how many people are going to be interested in that. So if you do think you'll be interested in taking a three-day course at some point in the future, right now, I hope to announce something for one of the latter weeks in August, but I don't think we're going to be able to do it. I'm probably talking this September timeframe for the first course. So anyone who's interested, as we need more, I'll try to please fill this out and pass it over again to your left with your evaluation form, which I'm sure you all have.
Do you have a cost,
Mr. Chairman,
cost for the course?
Yeah, the course is probably going to be something on the order of $800 per student for, you know? Cheryl said it just went up in the last 5 minutes. $900. Probably something on the order of $900 for a full three-day course, which would include an introductory as well as an advanced hands-on lab. What I want to do real quickly is just to tell you a little bit about what's going to happen after lunch. We'll break, and if you can be back here at 1 o'clock, we're going to start off again with a presentation by Don Conway, who manages the ECAS Simulation Engineering Group. He's going to talk about some modeling issues and some potential solutions to address those issues. He's going to be followed by Norbert Ames from NAT, who's going to discuss VHDL process that they have in place and are currently using. And our last presentation today is going to be by Shahid Hack, who is joining us from Reading, England. And he's going to talk about migrating from DEXIM to VHDL and what might be involved in that. And he has a tremendous amount of experience in VHDL as well. And again, whatever time is allotted after those three presentations, we'll develop to an open discussion. Thank you.
Ground, that's right. It's VHDL.